I'd like to consider an example that parallels this in some sense, but even makes my point more directly. Let's go to John 15, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, and I'll begin to read in verse 1. These are the words of Christ as he was giving some instructions to his immediate disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So he begins with this analogy. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4 is something we need to keep closely in mind, and over the years, this is where people have lost their way. He continues, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of Christianity, of course. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Can you be a Christian and be separate from Christ? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you bearing fruit? Are you close enough to Christ and to the Father to actually bear fruit? Because as Christ is saying here, if we're separate from the vine, we're not going to do so. Note what Jesus Christ said of himself. We'll stay in the book of John and let's go back to chapter 5. And I will read first in verse 19. This is what Jesus spoke to those who were listening to him, and he makes this statement. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I mean absolutely in modern parlance, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does the same. Now I want to go to verse 30 in this chapter. He continues on this theme as he's talking to those who are listening to him, some disciples and probably some just curiosity seekers. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Nations and individuals have had opportunities to be really close to God throughout the history of mankind, and some even have. More often than not, though, what occurs is that as time goes by, people begin to depart from God, to lose interest, but to lose their connection, and they are no longer close to God. And the consequences for that are grave. That's the history of the Bible. It's why it's written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, is just a reminder that we must stay close to God. Let's go to Psalm 50. And I'd like to spend just a little bit of time with some references there in the context of what I'm talking about our need to stay close to God. Psalm chapter 50, verses 22 and 23. These are God's words. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. It's a warning for forgetting God. And God is saying here that there are going to be consequences if we do. Now, we can, in small ways, minor ways, begin to round off the corners of Christianity and of our calling and compromise, and that starts losing the firm grip that we should have in our association with God. Let's go to Psalm 73, a little bit more on this theme. Psalm 73, and I'll get there in just a moment. I'll begin in the first three verses of Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, and this is the plaintive call or cry on the part of this psalmist here. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped or stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That happens to people who are called. You know, everybody else who have, those who haven't been called seem to be not having the problems that I'm having, perhaps. And I've heard that rationale put forward. It certainly doesn't hold up, but if you really understand the truth, but there is that temptation, and the psalmist is saying, I almost lost it, to put it in the modern parlance, because of so many reasons that might have happened. But it's what he's talking about here is maybe jealousy of those who don't have it quite as difficult as he might have had. Let's go to verses 27 and 28 to continue in this same chapter of Psalms 73. It says, for indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. Can we assume that those who are close to him will not? I believe so. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. And this is unfaithfulness in the truth of God. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So there is this battle going on for those who draw away from God and for those who draw close to him. Now, God gives us a choice in these matters. He is willing to help if we seek his help according to his will. We can't, brethren, keep sinning with the expectation that God will be there for us when we need him. We have to clean up our acts. The challenge today in the Church of God is to really be close to God, and a lot of people think they are, and whether they are or not is a matter of getting out this book and measuring our own actions against what is outlined there and what we can learn from the Word of God. Zechariah 1, verses 2 through 6 is God's answer to us when we find ourselves adrift, separate from God, and perhaps things just aren't working out in our lives. I suppose that's never happened to anyone else, right? Where you've had troubles or burdens. And yet when you turn to God, I would also recount that it's amazing the answers that come, and almost invariably they come in ways that we never would have anticipated because of the might of God, that with him, what is impossible? Nothing. Zechariah 1, verses 2 through 6. The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear, nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? And I'll stop in that seventh, or that sixth verse in this case. Malachi 3. Again, this theme is brought forward. Malachi 3, verses 6 and 7. And this is quite a book in which God gives very powerful warnings if we have ears to hear. In Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." What we read about Him doing in times past gives us an indication of the kind of God that He is, full of love and mercy and righteousness, and yet not one who will tolerate disobedience. "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." He's continued to work with the house of Israel in spite of the rebellion, but they've paid bitter prices when they've left and not stayed close to Him. "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." And then it continues, and I'll stop in the middle of the verse there. How does this apply to us? Well, a little simple lesson. We can make it apply by repenting, by stopping sinning, by doing what we already know we should be doing, and that's the test. Are you doing the things that you know you should be doing right now with zeal and fervor? Are you committed to God? Brethren, our point of compromise, that area where we turn away from God, is where we begin to separate ourselves from God. When we overcome sin, which we are supposed to be doing, we overcome, we endure. When we overcome sin, we practice obedience. And this is how we stay close to God. I want to use the magnet one more time, because if we really, if I can make it work here, we'll see here, but it's interesting. It works in amazing ways when it's close. Turn it upside down, it doesn't fall off. I just wanted to leave you with a visual so you can think about that, that as you pray, as you study, as you fast, as you attend services, all the things that you do are the things of your calling, draws you close. It keeps you connected to the vine so that you don't lose out in the opportunity that God has given to us. So you can imagine that magnet perhaps the next time you get down on your knees and come before God and think, "I'm getting closer to the Father and to Jesus Christ."